Today on the 10-12 podcast, we are making picks for every week 7 Big 12 game with Daniel, Chris, and our guest picker, Chase A. Kitty. That includes the first ever matchup between West Virginia and Houston, the Hoagie Bowl, BYU-TCU rivalry renewed, Oklahoma State-Kansas, Texas Tech, Kansas State, and the Cyclones on the road at Cincinnati.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference, plus Colorado, Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. We are the flagship show of the 10-12 Network. What a perfect thing to think about on 10-12 Day, October 12th, when this episode is dropping. The 10-12 Network, you can find every show on the network at 1012network.com, T-E in the number 12, the word network. And of course, we are partners with Sport Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. It is. It's 10-12 day. If you're listening to this on Thursday, it's 10-12 day. It's October 12th. It's 10-12. It's our day to celebrate. If you follow us on Twitter, at 1012 Network on Twitter, and at 1012 Pod on Instagram, you can participate in a giveaway with our good friends over at Charlie Hustle. Let's just do this now. Let's do this read. Let's do this ad drop. Charlie Hustle, official sponsors here of the 10-12 podcast and 10-12 podcast network as a whole. We love that over at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company, based out of Kansas City. Make sure you're following us on Twitter and Instagram so you can participate. Charlie Hustle is a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. Charlie Hustle wants you to be the best dressed fan this season, so be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today. Show off your school spirit all season long. Don't forget our promo code 101215, T-E-N, the number 12, the number 15, to get 15% off your order of any non-sale items. They've got more than 30 schools to choose from, including every Big 12 school except for Cincinnati, but they do also have Colorado. They've got you covered with all your collegiate apparel needs. So go shop charliehustle.com, use that promo code 101215, T-E-N-1215 for 15% off. And don't forget, make sure you're following us on Twitter at 1012 Network, T-E-N the number 12, the word network. 1012 Pod, T-E-N the number 12, P-O-D on Instagram. And you can enter our 1012 Day Charlie Hustle giveaway. Oh, that rhymed. God, you just love to kick off a show with a rhyme. You know, that just feels like you're starting off on a good foot. We got a lot of good feet here. I'm not sure that was as good a transition as I hoped it was, but we're going to roll with it. First up, our good friend, the LGGOG himself, Chris Ross.
Hey-o. What was that last week? 500 or about that?
We'll get to that in a minute. 500, yeah, 500. Three and three.
Jumping ahead.
Yeah, can't just one foot in front of the other. Okay,
I'm ready to go. Let's go.
I can tell, but we've got a lot to get to today. Also joining us, he is our pro picker. You know him, you love him. He is Daniel Alexander.
Hey, what's up, pro picker? Sleeping out of my car and eating ramen right now.
Bad week there, Daniel.
Anyone got a winner?
Hopefully, our guest who joins us today, as we said, we've been having guests the last couple of weeks. We'll keep having guests. Maybe today, this episode, you'll actually be listening to it, and it won't be another infamous lost episode, because that seems to happen a lot when he joins the show. He is the host of the Lion's Edge podcast, BetMGM, one of my favorite college football betting shows. He is Chase A. Kitty. Welcome back, sir.
Great to be here. Super excited.
We're going to talk about the last time you and I spoke, which was a Patreon episode of the 1012 yes. Network Patreon, because I have to give you some flowers, a big old bouquet of them, because your prediction regarding West Virginia is off to a roaring start so far this season. Before we dive into last week in picks, we do have to get to a little bit of news all basketball related. And since we're still on the hunt for a new Midwest Madness host, we're going to talk about it here. Let's start off with the Brett Yormark and Gonzaga news. Brett Yormark, Big 12 commissioner, continuing to push for Gonzaga to join the Big 12. That is the reporting across the board. There's been a lot of great stuff posted out. Matt Brown, who puts out Extra Points, just put out a paid newsletter on Wednesday. It was a good read. I'm going to read you some stuff from Matt Norlander, who does an incredible job for CBS Sports, Eye on College Basketball podcast. I'm going to just kind of read through some of his tweets. These were free, so it's not like I'm stealing paid information. Made some calls on Gonzaga Big 12. The biggest reason this is now a thing again is that Brett Yormark is 100% driving this, is seeking the most loaded basketball league imaginable so he can take the Big 12 to market at the end of the decade and have separate media deals for football and basketball. We know this. We know this is something that he's been big on. This is his big brain idea for the Big 12 in the future. Yormark still has pushback and caution from some Big 12 presidents and ADs. There are some who are all in on the move and support it. Yormark is trying to get this done ASAP, but the feeling amongst some is Gonzaga probably isn't going anywhere. Why not wait a few years? More from Norlander. Huge financial questions, the stuff that matters most to people running athletic departments and universities, are still not answered, re-adding the four corner schools that will officially join next year. The ESPN and Fox deals for the 16-team Big 12 are still being ironed out. So you got four teams joining next July, and we're still trying to figure out some of the details and I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed before that's even done. More from Norlander. What I've been told, Big 12 leaders had a laundry list of questions for Yormark last week and tasked him to bring back those to Gonzaga. With that, I think there's still some terms negotiating points that Gonzaga might not be thrilled with that could cause it to pause and evaluate. Big 12 needs 75% of a yes vote to clear Gonzaga. That doesn't exist right now. If a vote happened before June 30th, 2024, 9 of the 12 would have to be yays, because obviously Oklahoma and Texas don't count. Four corners have a voice but don't have a vote until July 1st of next year. Then it has to be 12 out of 16. Point of all this isn't shocking that he's back on this horse. It is a bit shocking that he's pushing this right this minute. I agree on the point of what's the hurry. If you asked me at the moment, I don't think this is going to happen soon. Look, I'll say this. I'm very torn on the whole adding Gonzaga thing. I know, and Chase, you could probably speak to this. West Virginia seems to be the fan base who is the most vocally against this, even more so than like UCF, who would also have an insane amount of travel trying to get into Gonzaga for baseball and basketball and other Olympic sports. But look, Yormark's focus is on basketball. Football's taken care of. You've got your four corners, and from there, you just wait till the ACC falls apart. If when it falls apart, you can snag schools from there if that's what you want to try and do. But he really does see splitting football and basketball apart and selling them separately, and that's part of the equation. The other part of the equation is this. TV execs and those who are reshaping college athletics to line their own pockets are going to come for March Madness, y'all. It's going to happen. The thing that we love about March Madness, the thing that makes it great, is going to get ruined. It just is. Because at some point, the Power Five players and those with the TV money are going to say, why am I putting, whether they're a Cinderella darling or not, why am I putting them in this tournament when I could have more schools that everybody knows and recognizes? Whether that's expanding the tournament or kicking some of the mid-majors out. It's going to get ruined. It's going to get taken away. That also goes to the fears about the Big Ten and the SEC branching off. Maybe they do decide to just do their own thing and do their own tournament. It sounds dumb and stupid, but, you know, at some point, they're just going to do whatever the hell they want. So whatever the future of college athletics look like, Brett Yormark is working to position the Big 12 so that it will be impossible to leave out. Like, great, Big Ten and SEC. You've got Kentucky and Indiana. What a tournament. You're going to leave out Kansas, you're going to leave out Baylor, you're going to leave out Texas Tech, you're going to leave out Gonzaga, you're going to leave out Arizona and Arizona State. If the ACC falls apart, like, I think some of your first priorities are not necessarily the most basketball-centric or football-centric schools, but hello, Duke. Like, you're going to try to position yourself in a spot so that if, when everything comes after college basketball and March Madness that we love so much, the Big 12 is in a good spot. The reason you add Gonzaga is because they're a big brand. I understand the concerns down the line, what happens with Mark Few, what happens if they can't sustain the level of success once they join a conference like the Big 12 that eats everybody and everything alive. I get all of that. but they are still a brand. They're a brand John Q. Public is aware of. That's what they have become. So I get the arguments against it. I see the reasons for it, but I'm also okay with waiting. Like, I don't think you have to do all this right away. I think you've got too many other stuff to figure out.
I mean, it seems crazy, right? Like, why? Why now? Like you're saying. I mean, obviously, I don't think Ormark is saying right now. I think he's just trying to get in position. But it's like getting in line to buy an Android phone. Why? Why even in line? You just go when it becomes relevant and get it. It's not. Why? Why are we talking about it? If it was a thing and we needed them and the Big 12 needed them, then it would happen. But if not, it just, you have enough of a basketball product. And yes, Gonzaga is a brand. I don't know how much more it's going to move the needle, though. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Go ahead, Chris.
I was just saying, when you factor in all the other sports, and if they're also, you know, they don't football, do they?
No, they don't have football.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd be really careful about going to a Big East model, but I don't get it. I'm not personally a fan of the move. It's no disrespect to Gonzaga. I think they have a terrific basketball product. I just don't know how much more that needle can be moved right now.
I agree with you guys on the urgency thing. Like, it's not like it has to happen right now, but I really love this idea. I'm really bullish on what Yormark's trying to do, because I feel like, and Philip, I think you spoke a little to this. You're always in a good position if you're the best at something. And it's clear, especially after the Texas and Oklahoma departures, the Big 12 is never going to be the best at football. They're probably never even going to be the second best at football. But if you can be the best at basketball, I do think that gives you a seat at the football table, because you're so dominant in another revenue sport that matters. And in the absence of having a clear plan to be competitive at the very top level in football, I think this is the next best idea. And we've seen in this era of conference realignment the last 20-ish years, people who go on offense are rewarded. People who make the early move are rewarded. And so I think that's the argument for going after another big fish like Gonzaga and trying to do it now, even if the timing doesn't necessarily dictate that it needs to happen right now. The sooner that it can happen for Yormark in the Big 12, the better, because aggression has been rewarded.
No, I absolutely agree with you there. And I like what Yormark is doing around basketball. I just, with or without Gonzaga, say Gonzaga goes somewhere else, I still think the Big 12 is the best basketball conference. I don't think that not having Gonzaga takes away from that. I do absolutely agree with you, especially when it comes to future TV money, that basketball is going to be a much bigger factor for the Big 12 and kind of push it and help it keep pace with the SEC and the Big 10 as much as, you know, any other conference can. It's just, I don't know, given Gonzaga's drawbacks and all other sports, travel and all that, I don't know if specifically Gonzaga, if the value's there.
I don't know of another mid-major that currently has the value that Gonzaga does. Like, it's kind of fun because so many people hate. Like, I think some of the negativity about Gonzaga from a Big 12 standpoint is so many people just hate Gonzaga. Like, their viewpoint on those is that they don't deserve a one seed and all this stuff. And so, like, I get the travel. I don't know why. Like, when fans talk about travel, I'm always like, you only care about that because it's a talking point that's been used, when deep down you just don't like Gonzaga. Like, just admit you don't like Gonzaga and you don't want to help them out, even though this is helpful for you even more than it is for Gonzaga.
I think people are just indifferent to Gonzaga.
No.
I mean, it's not that they don't
like them. People don't
I think Philip is right about this. Absolutely.
People hate that Gonzaga gets to play in the West Coast Conference and then earn a one or two seed every year because they – doesn't matter Absolutely. That they're putting players in the NBA. It doesn't matter that they dominate the conference. It doesn't matter they play very difficult non-conference schedules. They get to play in the West Coast Conference, and then they haven't won a championship because
that's fair.
But they've made they've only made it twice to the championship game, and they've made it to Final Four. Like, but it doesn't.
Let me ask you this, and then we can move on. Yes. But is it better to get Gonzaga in the next, you know, whenever it happens, or is it better to wait to see what happens with the ACC? And you're talking about, you don't know about a mid-major that has a higher value, but maybe we don't need to talk about mid-majors. There's not an infinite amount of spots available in the Big 12. There's only going to be so much TV money to go around.
I think if the focus is basketball, you're going to make basketball moves. Football, ACC falling apart, like that's football, basketball, yada, yada, yada. Like, this is a basketball-specific move. And again, it is removing pieces from the board from other places to utilize that when you sit down, you've got – it's why do we keep making so many stinking weapons when we've got more than everybody else? Because we still got to have more than everybody else, right? Like, it's just we got to sit down and be like, no. We've got all of this, and what do you have? Kentucky? Indiana? A Purdue team that's good sometimes? Like, cool beans. We have – this arsenal of basketball teams where if we decided to go do our own a Big 12 tournament with all these 20 basketball-centric programs that are all fantastic and have been nationally relevant, like our tournament will be even better than yours is. So we have a seat at the table. So I don't think it's going to happen right away. I think it's okay if you wait a year and let the four newcomers get into the Big 12 and let things get settled financially there before you start trying to figure out the financials of adding Gonzaga. I do wonder if the push is to get this decided before the four newcomers come in, because at this point, based off of things we've found out about Utah's president and Arizona State's president and how they handle things in the Pac-12, I don't really want them making decisions in regards to how the Big 12 moves forward in anything. So let's wrap basketball conversation up real quick. We know what's going to happen to Kansas after the 6-year-long investigation in relation to the FBI case. They received 3 years of probation. Head coach Bill Self and assistant coach Curtis Townsend received no additional penalties. IARP reduced the initial level one findings to level two and three throughout. It's done. It's over. Kansas got the slap on the wrist we all knew they were going to. The only program who received any legitimate punishment with the Oklahoma State Cowboys. I loved the jokes on Twitter. All of you are fantastic for saying whatever this punishment's going to be for Kansas, it will also include another postseason ban for Oklahoma State, because that's been the running gag, and it's a beautiful gag. I love it. Kansas got a slap on the wrist. I don't think we need to have a whole lot more conversation about that. We all knew it was coming. Oklahoma State fans have a right to be pissed off. The NCAA continues to be a useless organization whatsoever, and punished Oklahoma State in the way they did to try to set an example that didn't set any example, and everyone else skated by. I'll end it on this. Oklahoma State Athletics released a statement. Bravo to them. Quote, "We agree, as we stated at the time, that the NCAA should not be intentional in prescribing penalties that do not negatively impact student athletes, including bans from postseason play for violations that occurred years prior. I.e., if something happened years ago, you shouldn't be punishing players today. It is good to see the NCAA make decisions with this intent, even if it was too late to help us." Bravo, OSU. Screw you, NCAA. You feckless, useless organization. All right, let's talk about more fun things like college football and picks and the fact that I won last week. I was a big winner. 5-1. Chris and Daniel, both 3-3. And our good friend Parker went 2-4. The guest trend continues in a downward trend. We'll see how Chase does today. As I said, I went 5-1, hit on Oklahoma +6.5 versus Texas, hit on the over 65 in Kansas UCF, hit on the under 60.5 in Baylor Texas Tech, hit on the under 53 in Iowa State TCU, and hit on UCLA -3. The only miss was Kansas State -11. We all missed that one, and we knew it would happen when we all picked it. It's just money. If we all pick something, immediately go to your book and put a large amount of money down on whatever is the opposite of our choice. You will win. So that meant 5-1 for the week brings me to 30-25 on the season, which gives me a one game lead over Chris. Chris went 3-3 last week, hit on Kansas -1.5, hit on Texas Tech -1.5, hit on Georgia -14.5. The misses were, of course, Kansas State -11, Texas -6.5, and TCU -6.5. 3-3 brings your total to 29-26, Chris.
Yeah, not a terrible week, not the best week. What was I going to say?
It wasn't that the best
OU.
Time,
OU had it? A few. Yeah, OU had a few lucky breaks that went their way. I think I'd still take Texas. I'll take them in the Big 12 title. in the rematch. So I don't feel bad about it. It's an okay week. 3-3, you know, we'll just learn and move on.
It's so much fun knowing who's going to be in your championship game in October. Is this what SEC fans
Everybody
feel like
knows.
All the time?
Everybody knows.
It's funny you say that, Philip. I did a segment on Lion's Edge this week about how the Big 12 and the SEC are totally flipped this year. The giant top-heavy conference with two teams that are clearly ahead of everybody else. I feel like that's usually the SEC. It's definitely the Big 12 this year.
Daniel also went 3-3, hit on OU +6.5, hit on Iowa State +6.5, hit on Rutgers -13.5, of course missed on Kansas State, also missed on UCF +1.5, and Baylor was +1.5. 3-3 on the week, brings you to 27-28, Daniel. Just one game below 500 and just a few games back from Chris and myself.
We're still all sort of knotted up here, and that's fun. That UCF, just the line. The line before the game, the line movement, the way the game unfolded, so fascinating. I mean, before any groups even were hitting, I think the groups got involved at UCF around +2, +1.5. But, you know, guys jumped on the line right away, like literally it opened UCF as a dog. Groups got involved, pushed it out to like a pick 'em -1. And then was it -2? Was it -2.5? I don't even know. At close. And then the way that game unfolded was just crazy. I mean, Kansas just boat raced them. Just so it's just always fascinating, just from a betting perspective, when you see a game just get smashed and the line moves, you know, 5.5, 6 points from open to close, and then the exact opposite of that line move happens. So 3-3, I'll take it. On to this week, got to climb the charts.
Parker, like I said, went 2-4. Our guests are now 4-9 on the season. Chase, you've got some. You gotta do a little help for the guests here. It's not going well.
I do have a guest question, Philip.
Okay.
I, and not to, you know, I don't like to do this kind of thing, but I actually went back and listened to our episode from last year, and I won that episode. So is this like a unification thing we have to do because you won last week and I won my last appearance on the podcast? We have a unification bout here.
I mean, we can go with that. That's fine. Returning winner, returning champ. I like this. Tell you what, since you brought this up, I'm going to let you go first today. How does that feel?
That seems appropriate given what I'm guessing our first game is.
Well, if every episode is someone's first, so we go in chronological order, which means we are starting on Thursday with the first ever Holgy Bowl. The first ever meeting between West Virginia and Houston on the gridiron. What a wonderful thing. Cannot wait. This is going to be great. At the moment, West Virginia is about a 3-point favorite. There are some 2.5s if that is something that helps you out. Total has dropped from 54.5 all the way down to 49.5. Chase, as our guest and as a returning champion, I'm going to let you go first here, sir. What would you like?
Well, you can't come on the podcast as a West Virginia guy and get 4-1 West Virginia at less than a field goal and not pick West Virginia. So I'm going to pick West Virginia, but not just because I'm, you know, some blatant homer about it. I really do think there is probably a high level of energy with this team right now. I don't think they thought they were going to be 4-1. Nobody thought they were going to be 4-1. So I feel like coming out of a bye, I think the energy of unexpected success is more powerful probably than any run game, than any run blocking scheme, than any weirdly accurate Garrett Green pass. I think that is the most powerful force in this game. And Houston, you know, they're coming out of a bye too, but I just feel like there's probably more of a cloud hanging over that town right now and that field. So I really like West Virginia. I don't think I would like it as much if it was up near where it opened, which was, I think, like you referenced, it was like 3.5, 4, 4.5, depending on where you were looking. But here with 2.5, yeah, I feel great. Give me West Virginia. Houston might be the worst team in this conference. West Virginia, 2.5. Good team, but better number. I think it's more about the number than the team at this point.
Did you say might be the worst team in this conference? That's a very generous statement.
You know, I have nothing but love for Dana Holgorsen, and I want to wish him the best and not make declarative statements about how bad his team is.
All right, Chase, it was nice having you on. Good episode.
Look, there is no reason to think that West Virginia, based on what we've seen so far, shouldn't win this game. Like, at all.
Yeah.
Please understand this. I am not going so far as to say that 4-1 West Virginia is an obvious top 25 team, is going to make this massive run and going to be a Big 12 champion, or is going to contend against Oklahoma or Texas. Like, that's not it. Like, the reality is the schedule has been way easier than we ever could have imagined it was. That's not to take away from what West Virginia has done. This is a better West Virginia team than we thought it would be coming into the season, and Houston is bad. They just keep finding new ways to lose by a lot. Like, even when they put up a good amount of points, they still lose by double digits. Even when they can't, they try and play, they lose by double digits. Like, their performance in Big 12 play so far has been bad. And like, could they contend in a game at some point? Will they probably win a Big 12 game? Sure. If you told me that West Virginia's only wins came against other newcomers and they didn't get a win against the 10 that are here, like, wouldn't that shock anybody at this point? Like, the talent's supposed to be there, but I just don't see it. I don't understand. And so I agree with you here. The whole point is that we get West Virginia for less than a field goal. It's really hard not to take that. Like, I like the total, and I kind of would lean towards the under even at 49.5. But I'm worried that Houston's defense is just bad enough that West Virginia kind of runs over it a bit, because West Virginia is 35th in the country in EPA per rush on offense. Houston is 102nd. Like, Houston's rushing defense is awful. West Virginia's strength on offense is running the ball. Like, you know, West Virginia's going to, this is going to be one of those games where it's like, we knew what they were going to do to us and we still couldn't stop them. I'll take West Virginia to get the cover.
And just to add like a tiny amount of color on that, the way I read this number is that the market, understandably so, is still very cautious on buying West Virginia, because, I mean, I think there's been a lot of hay made about, wow, the defense is a lot better than I think people realize. And I think West Virginia's defense is like 77th in EPA allowed. So like the difference between like the yardage and the points that they're allowing in sort of raw metrics versus what the advanced analytics say, it's a pretty big gap. If you look at Parker Fleming's net success rates, it shows no separation at best in their performances. At worst, West Virginia's underwater and is lucky to win several of these games. Bill Connolly's done a lot with this too, about how West Virginia has been way more lucky than good. So when I see this number, I see a market that's skeptical to buy West Virginia, and I totally get that. The problem is the other team is Houston. And so in this case, it's still probably West Virginia marches on at this point.
Yeah, I would definitely say there's going to be a spot where you can take advantage, maybe fade Houston a little bit at some point, or West Virginia, but it's just not. It's not against Houston, I don't think. Okay, let's see. You both went 3-3. Chris.
I was really hoping you were going to go Daniel here, because this line doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. Because, I mean, look, we're just saying, I think we all agree Houston probably the worst team in the Big 12. Why is this less than a field goal when West Virginia has beat TCU and Texas Tech, who just blew out Houston? It seems odd. This seems off. I mean, the power of Dana Holgorsen cannot be that strong. Because of that, I don't have a reason for it other than something seems odd here. I think I'm going to take Houston to get the cover.
I will give you the +3 because that's the kind of guy that I am. Daniel.
Look, nothing scientific here. I'm with Chris. My raw line for this game, not accounting for home field advantage, is West Virginia -5. I don't think Houston has much, if any, home field advantage. So, you know, I sort of agree closer out to that open number. I think West Virginia is the better team. I think West Virginia should win and should cover. And Dana just has some insane power of always just like whatever I think is going to happen with Dana Holgorsen and his teams. It's the opposite that happens. I lose the bet. I lose the pick on here. So I'm going with Houston today. Or yeah, Houston +3.
Dana always disappoints you whenever we're have to make a bet in regards to Houston. Because no matter what you do, or as soon as you think you figure them out, Dana's. It's just,
if I lose on Dana again, it'll be the 50,000th time.
Oh, it's crazy, man. It's so nuts.
I'm just fading. I'm not going to overreact to missing something on Houston. I'm just going to fade them and ride with it. I feel like I can't do it. All right, let's move on down the list. We're going to get to our Saturday game. There is one 11 a.m. game in the Big 12 this week. That is Iowa State on the road at Cincinnati, 11 a.m. kickoff. This one's on FS1. And the line at the moment, as soon as I scroll down to get it. All right, Cincinnati, currently a 5-point favorite. They opened as a 3-point favorite on this one. Total, pretty much 44. Okay, it's 44.5 for the most part. I do see a couple 44s that are real, and I'll have to figure out who's got this 45 to figure out if that's for real or not. Let's see. I am up first. That's okay. Remind me, Daniel, do we trust Wynn or we don't trust Wynn?
If they're the only one hanging it in the whole world, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to do this because everything that I keep looking at, all the stats and everything I see, point to Cincinnati as they should be the favorite here. I don't trust Cincinnati a lot. I still can't get a good read on Iowa State here. And our whole, like, Matt Campbell in games with a spread between -4 and +4 is out of play because the line has gone as far as it has. So I'm going to take this total. I see 44.5s that I think I can use. And I am going to lean to, I can't believe I'm going to do this, but I'm going to lean towards the under. The funny thing about Cincinnati to me, if you look at all the EPA numbers, is the perception on Cincinnati is that the defense is good and the offense stinks. The reality is the defense is pretty solid. Like it's okay. The offense puts up a lot of yards. It doesn't always score like real points. And so I think this is a game that could stay under. I think I trust enough of an Iowa State's defense. I know that they're coming off of playing last week. Cincinnati got a week off. I think I'm going to roll with the under here. The one thing I'm not going to roll with on the under is Emory Jones. Because right now at Prize Picks, you can get Emory Jones over under 225.5 passing yards. Emory Jones has only not hit that mark once so far this season, and that was in week 2 against Pitt. That means he hit 225.5, the over, against Oklahoma. And BYU, Oklahoma defense, real good. BYU's defense has been really solid. So I know Iowa State has only given up more than 225.5 passing yards twice this year to Alan Bowman and Dylan Gabriel. But like, if you go look at some of the quarterbacks they've played, some of the situations with quarterbacks they've played, that's not terribly shocking. Iowa State secondary is very good. I want to give them full credit. Like EPA per pass on defense, they're 52nd in the country. They've been solid. I think Emory Jones goes over. So if you're looking for a play on Prize Picks this weekend, if you're looking one, you say, I want an over. We hit last week with Will Howard rushing yards. We got that one correct. So we're going to ride with over on Emory Jones this week against Iowa State over the 225.5 passing yards. All you have to do is download the Prize Picks app, use the promo code NETWORK12, NETWORK12, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So if you deposit $5, they're going to give you $5. If you deposit $100, they're going to give you $100. Prize Picks is the best legal way to play player props across the country. It's easy. It is fun. All you got to do is pick 2 to 5 players across any sport, college football, NFL, NBA, college basketball, MLB, WNBA. Pick the one you want. Pick 2 to 5 players. They can pick an over or under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. They have a ton of stats to choose from, including for Bay, if you're looking for football specifically, passing yards, rushing yards, receiving touchdowns, interceptions. It's a safe and easy way to play. Quick withdrawals. You don't have to wait for your money. So go download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code NETWORK12, NETWORK12, and get a 100% instant deposit match today. Start making your picks for games this weekend. All right, Chris, I'm sorry, I've delayed you. I'm giving you as much time as I can to figure out what you want to pick. You're welcome. What would you like, sir?
One of these teams to show me something. I don't have a lot of faith in either one. I don't think either one's all that great. Iowa State actually did better than I thought that they would against TCU. That was a bit of a surprise last week. They bounced back from the loss to OU. But they've not won on the road. The problem is Cincinnati's not really won at all. And they're in a three-game skid. They are coming off the bye. They got some rest, a little bit of game planning. Efficiency stats, like you were talking about, clearly favor Cincinnati here. And that's really all I have to go off of here because eyeball test, I don't really feel great about either one. I'm going to take Cincinnati to cover the five. It's under a score. I'll just take Cincinnati and cross my fingers.
That's a good way to handle Cincinnati, period, is just crossing your fingers. Daniel?
Okay. Since 2006, well, that's how far back my numbers go. I don't know when they started playing at Nippert Stadium, but games that have a wind of 8 miles an hour or more at Cincinnati's home turf, the under is 22-11-1 versus the closing line. Winds this week, they're going to be pretty strong over there. I think they're going to be over 8 miles an hour. Well, they better be because that's what I'm basing this pick off of. Yeah, that's right. Right now we're looking at 9, 10, 11 miles an hour. So I hope it holds. I'm just going off what we got right now. So if I have to pick this right now, I wouldn't bet it if it was under. But sitting here right now, we look like we're going to have some wind. I'm coming with you on that under of 44.5. Just some of those stadiums, man, you know, you go to try to kick that field goal, you'll hear kickers talk about it. The wind swirling a little different. This feels like it's just going to be one of those stadiums. You've got, after 35 plays to the under, that much over, give it to me. Under 44.5.
Chase?
I don't want to make any final rulings for you guys, but I've got my shop open right now. BetMGM has a 45.5. So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, 45 is pretty key. So you
Daniel, I thought you might be interested in that.
So wait, what number do we get, Daniel?
He's at BetMGM right now.
I got it open right now, 45.5 minus 115.
Mirage also has a 45.5. Hey, I'm going with what I have. Blame Vsin.
Well, I love it.
All right. Well, let's just give us both a full extra point here. That's
there you go.
That's money to my ears. Thank you.
I'm on it for you guys.
You know,
speaking
MGM
of
wants
live
to
lines,
be the official book of the 1012 network and 1012 podcast, we'd be happy to accommodate.
I will drop somebody in Microsoft Teams a message right now. now in the spirit of fairness and looking at numbers on books, Chris, I'm going to join you on the Cincinnati side, and I've got FanDuel open right now, and FanDuel's got a 4.5.
There we go.
So I think Chris and I are going to be on 4.5. For me, I don't like the Cincinnati side of this. I was actually surprised it was at 5 for most of the week. And, you know, I was prepping for our episode earlier today, Wednesday morning, and this got as, you know, as low as 5.5 for Cincinnati. And I was kind of gobsmacked that Cincinnati was getting all of this action and the line was pushing farther and farther. I know you said it opened at 3. I mean, that must have been a virgin opener because I was on this like Sunday morning and it was already out to 5. And I was kind of surprised that the number was that big because to me, this reeks of low scoring, ugly game between two teams that aren't all that good in the Big 12 standings. So I was just kind of surprised. And I one of my rules is I kind of try to lean into weird stuff. And this to me really struck me as a weird number. And so I'm going to go ahead and lay the number with Cincinnati.
I can only use the information provided to me. Circa opened it at 5 on Sunday. I'm sitting here looking at VSiN and it says it opened at 3. So
maybe a look ahead.
Might've been. Yeah. Okay. Very good. You get Cincinnati minus 5. Okay. Moving down the list. Oh, this should be fun.
4.5, right?
4.5, yeah, 4.5.
Yeah, 4.5. No, you have 4.5. Yes, sorry. Yeah. Sorry, I got you both. It's in the notes. And if it's not, you'll call me out later. That's fine. we've got one.
All those games that end on 5, I'll be very upset.
We've got two 2:30s on Saturday. Let's start with the 2:30 on FS1. Kansas going on the road to Stillwater to face off with Oklahoma State. As of right now, See, you got me all kerfuffled. There it is. All right, Kansas is a 3-point favorite, unless you see a different line, Chase, but that's what I've got across the board. Total at pretty much a consistent 55.5. Chris, you're up first, sir. What would you like?
You know, I'm not going to take too much from last week's game for the Cowboys and beating Kansas State. It was an impressive game. They look like a completely different team. But Oklahoma State does that. They have that game every season where you see what they what the potential is, what they're capable of, and it, that's the only time you get a look at it, because Gundy just is like, see, I told you, and then just puts it back in cruise control for the rest of the season, and it's the strangest thing. Kansas is a little bit different of a test for the Cowboys, but yeah, Bean has played well. Daniels, if he's back, you know, it doesn't really matter for the Jayhawks. I don't have faith in Oklahoma State putting that performance together again 2 weeks in a row. Give me the Jayhawks, and you know, if I lose this one, I'm not, you know, as an Oklahoma State fan, I'm not terribly upset, but I just don't see the same performance from Oklahoma State 2 weeks in a row, Kansas.
Daniel?
Hate to be a broken record here, but just I have every single weather and wind system that I run going off for this game.
It's supposed to be a strong north wind.
Always like, oh, that's nothing. That's a little. Yeah, you guys are always like, well, oh,
8 to 10 miles an hour is a breeze. Nothing. I don't know about the rest of the country, but that's a breeze.
Hey, this is showing that, you know, I'm seeing winds right now for this game are going to be 15, 18 miles an hour, and that's going to matter. I mean, the total's been hammered already. You know, you go check, you know, every single site. You know, some people believe it, that it can tell you something. Some people don't. But, you know, sites that track, you know, dollars wagered, money coming in, it's like every single dollar that's coming in is on the under. Under's getting hammered everywhere you look. I'm coming with it. I think 55.5 is still, you know, I think that's still pretty readily available, unless BetMGM is hanging us something nice here.
Sadly, no.
Then, you know. Okay. So yeah, we got 55.5. I know Circa's got a 55. I'll always defer to them, but you know, and anyone listening, if you can find like a really cheap 55 that you can buy to 56, that's still at like a -112 or -115 or something like that, I think that would be good to grab. But yeah, crazy wins. Okay, sounds like the wind's got some nods of approval of some people who live out there, so I'll take that. We're going with the under here.
Chase?
I'm in lockstep with Daniel. This is the first game we've talked about that I have bet real money on. I got this very early in the week at 58. It's now 55.5 at some of the shops that I'm looking at, and I am still, for the purposes of this contest, going to go ahead and buy it at 55.5. I'm on the under.
It is interesting. And Daniel, I should have asked you before we did this, if there's any data to back up like teams that tend to the under versus teams that tend to the over in a contest. Kansas is only 3-3 to the over so far this season. Oklahoma State is 1-4 to the under. The under's been a good bet for Oklahoma State. I would love to join you guys, and I probably should. I'm going to read an updated version of the thing that I read last week that we all agreed didn't matter. Oklahoma State has now pulled off the upset in 8 of their last 9 games as a home underdog under Mike Gundy. I understand it's just a trend. I get all of that. Do I think Kansas is the right side here to win this game? I do. But I'm going to do it anyways. Give me Oklahoma State +3. Like,
own it.
I'm just going to do it. I'm doing it. I read that it was 7 of 8 last time. And Parker's comment was like, yeah, but it, and I was like, I agree. Like, it's, you know, trends don't matter when the team looks like it's going suddenly in a completely different direction than it used to be in. And then they go off and pull off the upset win over Kansas State after a week to, you know, 2 week break to actually solidify who their starting quarterback and offense and running back were. And then they came out and played well. Now they sucked in the red zone, but do I think that I should buy into that? No, but Oklahoma State has OSU has a shocking win and a shocking loss in them every year. Mm-hmm. I think they've already knocked both out so far this season with Alabama and Kansas State, but the trend is the trend. I might as well ride the trend train. I'll take Oklahoma State +3.
I think the one stat, and I meant to hit on this in my thing, in my spiel, and I forgot. But the one stat is Kansas State's not taking care of the ball. And there were three picks in that game, and Oklahoma State won by 8 points, a score. Kansas takes care of the ball a lot better, plus four in turnover margin. That to me is going to be the biggest factor, the biggest difference in what we saw last week to this week.
Again,
to help you out,
I was going to do it too. Yep, go ahead.
Oh no, I don't know. Gundy at home with 8 days, you know, 8 days or more between games. He's 17-10 against the spread, so that puts him in this spot. Right, last week was a Friday night game, so Saturday night game here. He's got that extra day, 17-10 against the spread at home.
Philip, I'm going to help you out even more. FanDuel's got a 3.5.
I need you to send me whatever site you're using because VSiN is letting me down.
No, I'm on the FanDuel app.
Oh, well, I can't. I can only have so many things open at once.
I was going to say, what is happening right now?
I've got
where, like, we don't have up-to-date lines.
I've got VSiN. I've got a Google Doc I'm tracking things to. I've got ESPN. I'm not one of those fancy shows.
I don't even know.
With a producer.
I don't even know if I'm allowed to say FanDuel on a podcast. I might get fired tomorrow.
Well, I mean, I assume your bosses aren't going to listen to this one, so.
Don't underestimate your own podcast.
Well, now that you've teamed them about us,
it just gets just passed around yourself, marketing. Yeah,
may have just set yourself up for a bad situation.
All
right,
all those Jersey City people that are locked into Big 12 football.
Look, it's a good conference to bet. I hear. Okay, let's move on down the line. We've got another afternoon game: TCU hosting BYU, 2:30 ESPN. This one in Fort Worth. At the time of talking about this, I don't know what Daniel's numbers are. Sorry, Daniel. I don't know what Chris's. God, the other person that's on the show, Chase.
Chris and Chase, pretty close.
Yeah, you know, Chris, Daniel, Chase, they're a lot of the same number letters. Numbers. God, all right, I'm just going to. TCU is currently a 6-point favorite. Total is at 52.5, though I see some 53s if that's of interest to you. Daniel, you're up first, sir. What would you like?
I'm going to have no play on this in real life. I'm not going to touch this game. I hate both these teams. But when you look at it here, both of BYU's big wins were sort of fluky when you went and look back to sort of like on the spreadsheet how the game went. Like Cincinnati way outperformed BYU in that win that BYU had. Also, the game against Arkansas was a little fluky, although I had BYU there plus 10. And then BYU too. I mean, Kansas covered that spread barely, but they just didn't perform well in these games. And it feels like TCU this season, they've had success against teams that I'm going to say like are a little soft. That's where TCU has sort of found their success. SMU was soft on D in their loss against TCU. I think TCU blew out the spread there. And then TCU rolled Houston, like whatever that was, week three of the season. Then they had some trouble facing a West Virginia and an Iowa State. I don't think they're going to have that same kind of resistance against this BYU team. Undersized, horrible against the run. I mean, not that TCU is some great running team, but this just feels like if Sonny Dykes can't make it happen against this BYU D, TCU's falling on hard times this season. They're skidding right now. They have to get right. It's got to be at this game. TCU minus 6.
Chase?
I'm going to go oppo with Daniel here. I haven't seen anything that tells me I should lay this kind of number with TCU. BYU's coming off of a bye. I think Daniel's point about the physicality is what troubles TCU is a really good one. And 6 is a lot more valuable these days in the NFL than it is in college football. But I'm still going to go ahead and take the points with BYU. Admittedly, I feel like this is an appropriate caveat. This is the game I hate the most on the Big 12 games we're talking about this week. I really have no feel for what to do with this, but you know, the forced action in the style of this game, I'll go ahead and take the points with BYU.
Like to your point, Daniel, statistically, everything says TCU is the better team. Like you look at EPA, you look at like Parker stuff at CFP dash graphs, like everything says TCU is the better team statistically, but they haven't looked good. Like they make too many mistakes. Oh, by the way, Chandler Morris is out with an MCL injury. And so Josh Hoover is going to be the starting quarterback in this game. So the backup's got to be the starter. They're playing after coming down. They just went to Iowa State last week. It's typically a very physical game. They got beat up. I know you're coming back home. BYU has had time to rest. And like, I know this isn't like, this is one of those just like eyeball things of, we keep saying BYU wins fluky. At a certain point, like that was TCU last year, right? Like TCU just kept finding ways to win close games and win close games and win close games, and things broke this way and things broke that way and win close games. And it's the exact opposite for TCU this year. Whereas BYU, yeah, wins a game against Arkansas where they literally shot themselves in the foot as many times as possible in the fourth quarter so BYU could get that win. Cincinnati kind of outplayed them, but they got the win. You could say Kansas's win over BYU, like Kansas had two defensive touchdowns in that game. Like that should have been a closer game than it was. I think BYU feels like the right side here. So it's like, I'm going against all the numbers that I would prefer to tell me what I should pick here. Like I don't have a problem saying TCU wins this, but 6 points feels like too much. I'm going to take BYU plus six. I just don't trust TCU that much. And I feel like this is a decent spot for BYU to come in and face them. Chris?
Yeah, this feels like a game that TCU needs to win, right? To just get back on track. Because right now their best win is what? SMU. Maybe Houston, I guess. It's tough. I mean, they don't have a quality win. They've taken some tough losses. It's not the season they kind of set out for. But at the same time, BYU, yes. BYU is winning. Man. This is tough because of everything you guys have already said with efficiency stats and everything going TCU's way, except for the scoreboard. The scoreboard does not like TCU this season. I feel like BYU is going to have to do a better job of establishing a run. That's a part of the game that worries me right now. I'm going to take BYU, just take a flyer. TCU, this is kind of a lost season for them, given the Cougars.
All right. 3-on-1. Congratulations, Daniel, on your win with TCU minus 6. That tends to be what happens. So we'll see if the trends continue, man. Trends on this show, they happen a lot. Normally I would talk about Charlie Hustle here, but we already did. But I'll remind you, Charlie Hustle, official sponsor of the 1012 podcast and 1012 network, Charlie Hustle Clothing Company. Promo code 101215, TEN1215 for 15% off all non-sale items. That means you don't just have to use it once. So buy something for you and then buy something for family and friends this holiday season. All right. One last Big 12 game on the docket. One night game. Just one. Kansas State against Texas Tech. 6 p.m. FS1 in Lubbock. At the moment, Texas Tech is, I see a lot of 1.5s across the board. I'm sure Chase will chime in if he sees something better. Total at about 56.5 in this one. Chase, I believe you're up first, sir. What would you like?
I hate this game. I'm going to go ahead and pick Texas Tech. You're basically picking a winner here at 1.5. It feels to me like Morton is going to start to find a groove here as we get into the stretch run. I think he is a pretty talented passer. I think when West Virginia played Texas Tech in that weird game, and just to kind of circle back on the idea of how lucky West Virginia's been, I mean, when you're playing Texas Tech and the quarterback breaks his leg in the first half, and then the backup comes in and he's arguably a better pure passer, but you can't pass the ball because Morgantown weather decides it's just going to be rainy and gloomy until there's 7 minutes left in the game. Morton's just coming out firing those last 7 minutes. Texas Tech, classic game where they didn't lose. They just ran out of time. If that game was 65 minutes long, West Virginia would have lost. But it was 60 minutes long and they won. It's just one of those things. I think Will Howard looks like he's still hurt to me. I mean, that seems pretty clear to me. Kansas State has won a bunch of games in a row against Texas Tech. But it just feels like, you know, kind of this new era Texas Tech team. They play well at home. They don't win a lot of games on the road. They do win a lot of games in Lubbock. Night game in Lubbock. That place is going to be rocking. I hate this game and I hate this number, but I'm going to take Texas Tech at home because that's generally, in my opinion, the best way to bet Texas Tech is bet them at home and fade them on the road. And with the spread being what it is, you're basically picking a winner.
All right. It's me. I'm trying to look up something real quick. Sorry. I'm confirming a number. And I'm trying
to I've got Philip in his head now about the numbers.
The numbers. Okay, here's the one I want. There it is. All right. Since 2021, Chris Klieman at Kansas State, you know, post COVID, got the whole thing set up and rearing to go. After a loss, Chris Klieman at Kansas State is 6-2-1 against the spread. Kansas State coming off a loss where they did, I mean, you throw three picks. You throw a pick six. You got a fourth down attempt that you can't even attempt because the ball center snaps the ball when Will Howard's not ready and it runs away. You fail on a fourth down attempt on your side of the field. Like, Kansas State did everything they could to lose that game, and Oklahoma State, despite also trying to do things to lose that game, ended up getting the win. Like, that game felt so fluky for Kansas State. I don't trust Texas Tech. Trends say Klieman after loss gets his team up and ready to go. I'm basically picking a winner here. Give me Kansas State. Ooh, is that? Okay, hold up. Hello. I've got a Texas Tech -2 at Circa right now. Anybody disagree?
No, I mean, Circa is legit.
Sounds like you're getting Kansas State +2.
Sounds like I'm getting Kansas State +2, y'all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Give it to me. Wildcats +2. Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. At Kansas State, they'll play a lot better than they did last week. The problem is Texas Tech is a lot better than Oklahoma State. And at home, Red Raiders, I think right now, just heads up on what we've seen so far this season, Texas Tech is better than Kansas State. Will Howard's not playing great. I don't trust Kansas State to play a completely clean game, even if it is better than last week. Give me the Red Raiders. And I actually feel pretty good about it, which is probably because of death. So.
Daniel?
I hate this game too. I'm not going to have anything on it. Like Chase said, it's just a coin flip. You're picking the winner. My line actually is closer to K-State being -1, but I've been wrong on them this year. Going into the season, I felt good on my numbers with them, and I had them overvalued straight up. And I'm far enough along into the season, and I've seen enough to where I just know my numbers are wrong on them. This feels like a night game. Sharps have not been involved in this game on the spread or the total. This just feels like this is going to be a wacky game that's going to go over with, you know, some short field set up by turnovers, some sort of special teams return. In doing the homework on this game, I was surprised how well ranked K-State's defense has been, just for like just their crazy games they've played and some of the games that everyone was hammering the under games ended up going over. So yeah. Weird Big 12 night game fireworks. I'm taking the over on this. Is there a 56.5 there somewhere?
Let's see.
Yeah, circus. Oh yeah, tons of 56.5s here. Yeah. Over tons of
56.5.
Yeah.
All right. We end this oh, go ahead.
Like just the fact too that the key number's still hanging there, half a point over the hook, that tells me even more. If people were involved in this game and cared about it, this thing would be on the other side of 56. So give me that over.
All right, we end the show the same way we do every week, by picking a non-Big 12 game. You can pick any score or any against the spread, over-under on any game non-Big 12 related. For 2 weeks in a row, I've had the benefit of an unranked favorite versus a ranked dog. Unfortunately, this week, there's not one. So I'm not entirely sure what to do here. So I'm going to follow the trends. I'm going to look at what the trends are for the season so far, because I have not done well in the non-Big 12 picks. And so I'm going to pull up the data for this year, and I see a number that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And I'm going to roll with it at the best number I can find. As of today, Rutgers is 5-0-1 against the spread for this season. They're currently a 5. Ooh, I see a 4.5. Perfect. Circa's got a 4.5 point favorite over Michigan State. Like, has Michigan State players started announcing they're leaving yet? Like, it's that time of the year where you should be able to, like, enter the transfer portal. I'm shocked that I haven't seen a lot of news of players entering in. I'm going to take Rutgers -4.5, and I'm going to say it, but, like, the way I am because I'm not sure that I feel great about it, but I'm going to do it anyways because I just don't think Michigan State's very good, and I'll follow the trend and see if it keeps going on or bites me. Chris?
Yeah, you know, I'm Power 5 last week, and it I typically avoid it, but it did well for me. I think I'm going to go back to the Power 5 in Illinois, Maryland. Just because Maryland, you know, like Illinois, have they covered a spread? I don't think they have.
They have not. I can tell you from my own notes that they have not.
Yeah. So, you know, that, but you look at, I just look at the scoring averages and everything. I feel Maryland's got a pretty good chance to cover this. I'm going to say Maryland.
Daniel.
One of my favorite spots of the year. Is this week. I play this every year when it rolls around. It doesn't come around too often. You just get a handful of times a year. When a ranked favorite is coming off a loss of 14 or more. So that's it. Just ranked favorite off a loss of 14 or more. If you fade them the following week, since 2006, you're 76 and 37 and 2 against the spread, hitting it at almost 68% clip. I love that spot. There's two games this week. I'll let you do the homework to go find them, but I'll give you one. One is Cal. Cal is at Utah. And actually, some group blasted this thing today. I was very fortunate. I was able to get an expensive 14 and a 13.5 earlier in the week. Someone came in and just nuked that number. It's now at like 11.5 today. I would still take it. I would still take this thing at double digits. Basically, I would take Cal down to plus 10. With that total being at 45. So Utah lost by 14 last week to Oregon State. They're still ranked. They're still holding on to the spot. Epic spot. Fade the ranked team off the two-touchdown loss or greater. We're taking Cal plus 11.5.
I got a bunch of 12s
there. You can give them to me. No.
Okay. Hold on. Let me free.
Maybe 12's not key. That could have changed in the last few hours. Yeah, 12's not key. So, I mean, if you've got some real, like I said, pepper mill, you can only bet the pepper mill if you're sitting there in the book. So, if they're the only ones hanging the 12, it doesn't count.
I got Caesars with a 12, but it's all the way down to like 10.5 at FanDuel.
Golden.
Well, Caesars, South yeah, Point, I mean, 12
Golden wouldn't surprise
Nugget, me. It's not key.
Win.
Yeah, I'll take it. Caesars. That's enough. That'd be South Point. Okay. South Point's legit.
I'm gonna give South you Cal plus 12.
Love it.
I'm gonna get you that best number. Give you that best number.
While we're talking lines, I got Maryland at 13.5, right?
There is a Maryland 13.5 on the board. I can also say that confidently. There is a Maryland 13.5 on the board right now.
Chase, I hope you've had enough time to find a new pick.
This is the second time in 3 years I have come on this pod. Daniel did it to me last time. Daniel stole Purdue right out from under me in 2021, and I've never forgiven him for it. And now Chris has taken the Terps from me. I live 2 hours from the Terps, and I can't bet him on this pod.
You can go for it. I mean, what's it matter?
No.
How did Philip know this? How did Philip know this?
No, what?
That Maryland, but yeah.
Because I heard Chase make a sound and then looked at his video and could tell that he was greatly upset by your pick.
What are the chances? Twice in 3 years, my one. You can go anywhere in college football, and twice in 3 years,
and I never go Power 5. I never go Power 5.
Ugh. God, that's just disgusting. All right, so I got a couple options here. I'll throw a shout out at one game that's kind of fascinating to me, and then I'll give you the one I'm going to roll with now that Maryland's off the board, Chris. I'm going to be a bad alumnus here and point out that JMU is a 6-point favorite against Georgia Southern. They were a 3.5-point favorite about 24 hours ago. And I've talked for 2 or 3 weeks now how I loved the look ahead for Georgia Southern. That they just – Clay Helton's there now. He landed there after the USC stuff. He's running an air raid at Georgia Southern, which is kind of ironically hilarious if you're familiar with the history of Georgia Southern football. But they throw the ball all over the place. JMU's 5-0. Yay for the Dukes. Yay for my alma mater. Couldn't be happier about the move up and everything. But their secondary is not good. And they're, like West Virginia, a little bit lucky to be 5-0. They've had a lot of things bounce their way. And if you are a proponent of the styles make fights theory of handicapping college football, which you absolutely should be, Georgia Southern is a huge problem for JMU. The problem is, as we've already talked about a couple times, there is going to be some weather in the Mid-Atlantic region this weekend. And I think the Sharps have discovered it's probably going to rain in Harrisonburg this weekend, which is not only a minus for Georgia Southern's offense, it's a huge plus for JMU, which is a big time, you know, giant, great play at the line of scrimmage, really good defensive line, good offensive line, run the ball, dominate time of possession, that kind of thing. So this has jumped from JMU 3.5 to JMU 6 in a matter of, I don't know, 28 hours, probably. I still think I'd bet Georgia Southern as a dog because I think they're the right side and it's a way better number now. But because of the weather thing, I'm going to stay away. It's a lousy week for dogs, which still is one of the reasons I think I like Georgia Southern. Lots of teams on bye. I think the place I'm going to go, I'm actually going to play a MAC game with Maryland off the board. I'm going to play Miami of Ohio. No, sorry. I'm going to play Western Michigan +8.5 against Miami of Ohio. This is a game I bet in real life. This is one of those games I think is kind of biased because of the records. Miami gets that win over Cincinnati a couple weeks ago. But, you know, it's an overtime game. It's a coin flip game, and it goes Miami's way. I did a write-up of the teams that Miami has wins over. It's really bad. If you go look at Jeff Sagarin's rankings, it's like, you know, two of the four other wins they have besides Cincinnati, the teams are ranked, I think, below 200 in Jeff Sagarin's rankings. It's really bad. Their record is very fake. And to give Western Michigan more than a touchdown at home, they're 2-4, but they've played a bunch of SEC schools and ACC schools and Big Ten schools. I just think these teams are closer than the market realizes. And so north of a touchdown as a home dog, Western Michigan, generally a pretty good home team, home dog. I like the idea of going against that fake record that Miami has and Western Michigan keeping it inside the number here.
Well, when Illinois covers, you'll be thanking me.
I will be, I mean, just if I find out your mailing address, Chris, I am going to send you, there's going to be, the FBI is going to open a domestic terrorism investigation. Like,
oh, wow.
I am very upset right now.
I love that. Look, your Mountaineers are 4-1.
Go Mountaineers.
You predicted a great start on our Patreon episode before the season started. You're the only person I have seen anywhere. I believe Shahan got into an argument with you, basically disagreeing with you vehemently.
He did not like my prediction. Yes, he did not like it.
I predict he will be on the show soon. I will bring that up to him.
He did not like it.
Nobody did. There's a lot of receipts that need to be printed.
You know, visionaries are often criticized in
their time. Chase, it is always a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm not kidding when I say there are a few betting shows that I make sure and listen to each week. Yours is one of them, you and then the BetUS show that Parker does on YouTube each week. And so, like, if any of you just enjoy listening to betting and learning about betting, whether it's college football or NFL, go check out the Lion's Edge podcast everywhere podcasts can be found. Chase does an incredible job over there. Always appreciate you hopping on because it's a ton of fun just getting to chat with you. You can Chase, plug the socials real quick.
Yeah, at Chase A. Kitty is my personal account. At the Lion's Edge is the Twitter account. The podcast has accounts on Twitter, Instagram, I think TikTok as well, because you gotta reach the kids somehow.
You doing a lot of TikToks?
Not really.
Dance moves?
No, it's just if I sit down and record something for Instagram, I'll throw it on TikTok as well. And, The women's tennis does well. So stop by the show, if nothing else, for the women's tennis. Daniel, we're going to get you out from under the bridge. I got a ticket for you. I'll send it your way on women's tennis tonight.
Hey, we'll take it.
Yes. Chase, it always cracks me up. You're like, all right, so-and-so from Bolivia, and people don't know. And then and you're like 8-0 picking our, it's funny.
Yeah. I mean, it's too late for anybody that listens to this because right now the professional tennis tour is in China. So they're playing at like 3 a.m. our time, but Ludmila Samsonova tonight, I mean, in Seoul, South Korea, is just going to smoke some people. So we're on that big time.
I'm already clicking. I'm already going to the books here. I'm already pulling.
I got a three-way parlay. I'll send it your way.
You can find Daniel on Twitter at DannerB7. Daniel, the Slack's still going on.
Dude, we're still rocking. Actually, a bunch of guys were in there last night just chatting. We were loving this thing. We've been going for like 5 years now, 6 years. There's a handful of guys, you know, share football numbers for NFL and for college, and yeah, we're still rocking.
All right, Chris is not on social, but he does sell frisbees. So
I do.
He does sell frisbees.
A fair amount of them. Scissortail Disc Golf, check it out. Just do not send Chase my home address, and we are good.
If he does receive it, it was not from me. You can check us out on social at 1012 Network, TE and number 12 Word Network on Twitter, and Blue Sky, is that the one? I forget the name of it. I'm barely ever on it. Blue Sky, yeah.
That sounds right.
1012 Pod on Instagram and Threads. This has been a lot of fun. We'll be back on Monday to recap the weekend that was and look at the weekend that will be. Y'all enjoy the games this weekend.
Podcast Network.